Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Eggs Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Lainey Bond. And Lainey is going to talk about working conditions for nurses in light of the COVID crisis. So, Lainey, how are you?
I'm well, thanks very much. Thanks very much for having me, Cynthia.
So, actually, how do you pronounce your first name?
My full name is Delaine, and my nickname is Lainey. You said it right the first time, so thank you for asking.
Okay, thank you. So, you're a nurse, and you're acutely aware of what's going on with nurses across the country. In light of COVID and sickness and death, Lane, what's going on so the average person will be aware of the horrible conditions?
Absolutely. Thank you. What we are seeing with the pandemic, and still we have non-believers that think that the pandemic is a hoax or that the masks are not helpful in protecting the public and nurses. But what we are seeing is hospitals are overrun in many, many states. We are hearing things like 72 people waiting for 60 ICU beds. We're hearing things like the ERs are overflowing and have been converted to ICUs, and the ER overflow, you know, those tents in the parking lots and such, are also overflowing and people are waiting. We are seeing issues like people with regular medical issues such as a heart attack dying because they're afraid to go to the hospital. One of the main concerns, obviously, is nurse burnout. There are nurses that are working 14 hours a day under the PPE, wearing the PPE when they have it, that is so tight to their skin, it's actually damaging their skin, causing the skin to die and scarring their faces. They're developing so much stress. Burnout is running rampant. The second wave is just tiring nurses out. The word that keeps coming across is weary. Nurses are just weary. And the problem is that we're only at the beginning of the second wave. It's anticipated by epidemiologists to last into February, and the hospitals are going to continue to be in this overrun situation. Now, when you probably all have been to a point where you've just been so exhausted or so emotionally drained that you just don't feel well. That makes you very vulnerable to infection. So now we've got these nurses who are working 14 hours a day, in very uncomfortable situations, getting worn out, and they're getting sick, and they're not always recovering. I know a lot of nurses who have what they call sequelae from the COVID-19 infection, with things like cardiomyopathy, which is heart damage, pulmonary damage to their lungs, neurological damage, the list goes on and on. I've got a lot of people who are having recurrent fevers 3 and 6 months later. We're having reports of nurses who are reinfected. The antibodies did not provide sufficient protection, or their immunity was worn out to the point where they never fully recovered. Don't have enough data on that to speak definitely about what the cause of these recurrences are. But when they're getting sick a second time, it's much more severe.
That's absolutely astounding. But, you know, when people have a job and they get up in the morning and they say, oh, great, it's another day, I'm going to work, with emotional and physical and emotional tear down of their being, it's difficult for these people to get up every day, to go to work, to put 100% of their effort in, and we're dealing with sick and dying patients.
Mm-hmm.
How is this How is the morale rate?
The morale is low. There are a lot of nurses feeling completely isolated. We are already in a situation where we see awful stuff all the time, and it's very hard to find somebody to talk to kind of debrief after your day. You can't do it over the dinner table. You can't really talk to family or friends. But now that we're in COVID, and especially with the dissent in the country about whether or not this is real or whether or not masks are needed, these nurses are feeling super isolated. I started a Facebook support group for nurses called COVID-19 Nurses, and a lot of them have reported that this has been their only lifeline. My format has been to present only real life experiences where the nurses need to vent or get input or get some ideas on how to do something, or research, evidence-based research that's founded on scientific investigation. So things like from the CDC or universities or other well-known organizations like JAMA, the AMA, and other organizations like that. We recently had a discussion in my group where a nurse was saying, "How do you get out of bed every day?" And I thought one really incredible and inspiring comment was, "Pretend you're on a countdown. So you wake up, you start counting backwards from 10, and when you do the 3, 2, 1, you blast out of bed, ready to go for the day." Now, this is a
Oh.
nurse who it works for her. I mean, and I see it in her feeds, in her comments, that this mentality is really helping her. Her mother was recently taken ill with COVID. She had identified it early, brought her to her own hospital, an hour and a half away from mom, got her admitted. The woman ended up transferred to this nurse's actual unit, and how scary would that be? I mean, it's awful to watch strangers, but to watch your mother being put on a vent, she did not care for her, but at least she had access to her, like so many people are dying alone. But, you know, there were some days there where we weren't sure she was going to make it. And then to have that stress on top of it, I'm happy to say that mom recovered and she went to a rehab briefly and now she's home and this nurse is delighted. But imagine how that affects, how this whole picture affects families. I'm seeing nurses that marriages and families are breaking up now because it's just too intense. So there's so many fallout factors from the stress of just working and watching these people, and then to try to come home and cope with family and keep that all bottled up or whatever. I mean, it's depressing, it's hard to deal with. It's very scary all around.
So, what's the cause of all this these problems? There's a bottom line here. What is that bottom line?
I believe the bottom line is that the U.S. healthcare system was unprepared for a pandemic. I went to college years ago. In the 1980s, we were already talking and learning about the nursing shortage and also physician shortage due to attrition and retiring, you know, aging out. As of 2000, let me think for a second. I think around 2015, the attrition rate was higher than the rate of new students coming in for these programs. I've seen nursing schools get very creative, adding programs as fast as they can, not always effectively, a lot of online learning that may not be the best and give you the most solid experience. But all of these things have created a problem as far as our healthcare system being prepared. We also have some challenges with the values and the focus of for-profit hospitals. The hospitals that seem to be faring the best, which I haven't researched this to confirm, but it appears to me that trauma centers there are the best prepared because they tend to be run by business and medical people in combination. I did notice in the summer, over the summer, that a hospital or two were taken over by physicians where the physicians actually pitched in and purchased the hospital. I would imagine that it's a lot better for a nurse's working conditions to work in a physician-run hospital. The other piece of this was the pandemic caught us by surprise as far as PPE. When we had the previous swine flu and the other SARS infections that came through, the bird flu, nurses were out in full PPE gear, head to toe, culturing people, and there seemed to be more supply of PPE. Unfortunately, those supplies were not restocked after the last major outbreak, and it's difficult to say, but there's nurses that are working still today. How many months into this? They are working today wearing one mask for a month. I was recently told about a nurse in a long-term care facility that had been wearing the mask so long that it was black with filth just from the body oils on the face, and it was so clogged up that there was no air moving through. That's a month. And in that particular facility, which has had some remediation and some guidance from a consultant, but originally when the consultant walked in, the PPE was all locked in a boardroom. The message that comes across loud and clear to nurses in these situations is that PPE is more valuable than their lives. Nurses are dying when they get sick, much less than they were in March. Now we have treatments and we're starting to get an understanding of a treatment protocol and early intervention. But when a nurse is threatened to be fired over either bringing her own new mask in or not wearing her mask for the allotted time on that floor, you start to question where the values are about the humanity.
Wow. When did you realize, I'm sure as a health practitioner, you realized the extent of the problem long before other people did, but when did you realize that there was going to be a real crisis in hospitals for nurses and doctors?
I realized it when the word pandemic was used, and I was watching the news closely as it crept up to my place and my area. I was trying to continue working. I travel a lot for work. I was trying to continue my working. We had planned a vacation. We had a whole slew of things lined up for February and March. But, you know, for me, when Boston shut down, and I'd been there 2 days before, and then Orlando started shutting down, I realized that this was already here and that we were not really well informed about the risks of it until then. I think the leaders did the best they could as far as keeping people from panicking and such, could have been more warning about this. When Orlando started to shut down, I immediately went home, and I knew that this would be a 2-year process to clean up the pandemic just based on my infection control training. And I want to just clarify that when I say the leadership didn't do a good enough job communicating this, I think it was an impossible situation. I fully and wholeheartedly believe that this was not a one-person issue. I don't believe the president failed at this. I feel like he did the best he could. I find frustration in that we elect any president to lead us in protecting our country and then criticize him because he's not a doctor and may have misinformation or information may be misconstrued. And that's not to say that I support one candidate or the other. I'm just saying I don't think any president could have done better or worse. I think he did the best he could. And I also know that this problem with our country being unprepared is decades old and has passed through many administrations. There are regulatory agencies that have failed us. There are hospital administrations that have failed us, and there are bipartisan leaders on the federal and state level that have failed to come together to make a safety plan for the country and to keep us prepared for a pandemic. And when I look at this, I get very frustrated, because if Hollywood could imagine this stuff coming around years and years ago with that Richard Dreyfuss movie, I think it was called Contagion, and not understand that this could possibly, the government could not understand that this could possibly happen in reality, is very frustrating to me. And what I compare this pandemic to, and the way the U.S. healthcare system was prepared for it, is kind of like a grade Z movie, right? If my husband sat me down and put on this sci-fi movie, he loves sci-fi, and asked me to watch this show that had no PPE, that had nurses in major hospitals wearing garbage bags and reusing PPE masks that are only supposed to be worn for 45 minutes or until damp or change between patients. Those are the three scientific safety rules that we are drilled to and are drilled on in nursing school. And to hear a movie that would feature nurses having to wear a same mask for a month and wear a garbage bag into a patient room and stacking up bodies in refrigerated trucks, I would have walked out on that movie. I would have said, this will never happen in the U.S. This is ridiculous. We have the evidence-based research on infection control. We have money. We have the knowledge to prevent this, and we didn't. And that's very sad to me.
We're in the midst of a second wave right now. The rate is going up for people who are contracting COVID.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think this will last? And how badly will it affect the nursing staff?
The epidemiologists worldwide are projecting that this is going to last until February. So November 5th to February 5th were the peak that we're projecting. Much more informed and smarter than me. So I don't think we are a week away from this. I don't think the introduction of a vaccine is going to cure this in a week. I think people need to be very, very careful throughout the winter. I know the holiday is coming, and people are getting stir crazy, and they don't like to be locked inside and such. And I'm not suggesting that. I think everybody should continue to live as closely as normal as possible. For instance, if you have to go to work, but please follow the masking recommendations. Please keep your social distancing. You cannot ever count on the fact that somebody standing next to you has not been exposed. Look at the football players that have been exposed. I know several people not in healthcare, for instance, that may work at the post office. And now that the election's over and everybody thinks that this was all overdone and exaggerated, they're not really putting those mask restrictions into action anymore. And people are starting to crowd into other people's space and such. And, you know, there's other people who are trying to stay healthy and trying to keep working and earning a living, paying their bills. And if we don't all work together on this, it's not going to, there's not going to be a good outcome for a lot of people. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, that's, you did. You know, when you, people are talking about a second wave, you hear it on TV, you read about it, you talk to friends about it. But I think the most important thing to think about is, what if there's going to be more than a second wave? Do you think that's a possibility?
You know, I can't say with any certainty. I have not seen any research on that or any projections that way. And I think by the time the second wave is over, we're going to have a lot more availability of that vaccine, which will at least break the increasing numbers. So I'm not saying it's going to control it. The vaccine may not be like a one-time inoculation. We may have to get that every year like the flu vaccine. I know research is continuing, and I'm making it more of a longer term, like the way the meningitis shots are that are every 5 years or such. But the COVID-19 vaccination will help break the cycle, but we're going to have to remain very diligent because, as you've all heard, these things mutate, just like a cold mutates, just like the flu mutates. Any vaccine is going to be the scientist's very best guess at what's going to happen next year with the mutations. So we need to remain very diligent. And if there's one thing that's come out of this that I, you know, as a nurse, I am thrilled about, is the education on personal space, staying home if you're sick, staying home if you're vulnerable when there's a bug going around, and washing your hands, avoiding and touching your face with dirty fingers. You can just rub your eye, rub a little bit of junk out of your eye, and that is enough to transmit the germ. It goes into any wet surface called mucosa, whether it's your nose, your mouth, your eyes. So just be very careful. Remember that if you are immunocompromised, stay home. Let people bring you groceries. Don't go out to bars. Don't go shopping in crowded malls. If you feel like you have a necessary errand to run, maybe grocery shopping, go at a time when the store is not busy so that you have plenty of space.
What you're saying is pretty profound. So I just find this whole thing so unreal. For people, for nurses who succumb to this illness, and there might be a shortage of nurses in that particular hospital, what's being done about that? You know, because when you're a nurse, you can't adhere to the, you know, the warning, stay home. They have to work. They have to be in a setting where they're sick and dying people. And if they get sick themselves, and if there's a shortage of nurses in any particular shift or any particular, you know, floor, what's being done about that?
So I want to be very clear. We are in the midst of an exacerbated nursing shortage now. So we were in a nursing shortage coming in. I left working in the hospital system in 2007 due to chronic short staffing. I was getting more and more patients, and I didn't feel that I could take care of all the patients at the acuity I was getting. So there was a shortage in 2007. There's been a shortage coming since the 1980s, like I mentioned. Now that we're in the throes of this pandemic, nurses are burning out and getting sick. The shortage is critical. You have to stay as healthy as possible. You need to go to the hospital if something is happening to you. Like if you are having COVID symptoms, talk to your doctor. Don't hesitate to go to the emergency room. If you're having pain in your chest or you have any of the classic symptoms of what would be considered a heart attack or other major medical issue, go to the hospital. But I will tell you people, all in the community, the nursing shortage has hit these hospitals across the nation. I had a nurse that walked into work, 10 nurses needed for that shift, and only 5 showed up. Some had quit, some had gotten sick. So that is happening across the nation. There are reports of nurses, 2 nurses in, I don't even know what type of facility, but it wasn't a critical care hospital, not an acute care hospital. So it must have been like a rehabilitation. They walked in, 2 nurses walked in. There were 140 patients, which is not unusual for that population, but 24 of them were on ventilators. They had 2 nurses running 24 ventilators. By comparison, when you're in an ICU in a normal time and you're working in a very controlled situation, a nurse would never have more than 2 or 3 maximum, 4 in an emergency. But to be running 12 between one nurse and 12 with another nurse, there's no way those patients can get the proper care. And it's not a criticism of anything but the pandemic. This is how serious it is. What's being done about the nursing shortage? I mentioned that schools are coming up with creative ways to get people trained and to keep nursing coming, but they're not getting the same level of experience that we were getting back before the pandemic. They're not getting hands-on. experience in the hospitals because we need to keep those people safe. They're not getting those opportunities to go through their clinicals with an advisor right over them to guide them when they're making a mistake or to educate them or to cover something. Oh, this little cardiac thing right here, you see this on the blip? Yeah, this is what this means and this is what you do about it. I can't tell you how valuable those clinical experiences are in the foundation of nursing, and we're not able to do that right now. What we are seeing in these places that are having really major shortages are consultants coming in and revamping things. There is a company coming in. I don't know if I can mention the name of it right now, but if there is a nursing home crisis or a long-term care, rehab, hospital crisis where the numbers of COVID are skyrocketing, this consultant will come in and he will get local volunteers from the fire department, the police department, et cetera, and they will literally go in and scrub the walls of this facility. They will clean all the possessions of the residents, and they will ask the administration to get more staffing in there by temporary agencies. I was told that patient care tax that normally make only about $13 to $20, depending on the region they're in, are now making up to $65. I've seen travel contracts for $8,000 a week for nurses. If you're seeing a very high contract rate for a travel nurse, that means there is a critical shortage in that area, and that is going to be a tough job. I find it very frustrating that we can cough up money now when we've been short-staffed all this time, but then what's the kickback from that? I mean residual. Once a facility has been deemed untrustworthy by the staff, the word gets around the community. So even when they bring in this consultant and clean it up and change things around and get ample PPE and a commitment to continuing that, how do you rebuild the trust of the nurses who have seen that they were not valuable or respected or listened to when this whole thing was going on?
So, Lonnie, we're just about out of time. Tell us a little bit about your Facebook group and how people can join.
Sure. So I have two Facebook groups going. One is for the general public. It's called COVID-19 Long Hauler Support. The backdrop is kind of bluish with a stethoscope on it. I am posting information with some education in that daily. So, explaining why the thyroid gets affected and how do you get your thyroid tested and what's the best method for that. So some education on healthcare and how to take care of yourself. And there's also members who are coming in and asking questions like, why do I keep getting a repeated fever, or why can't I breathe, or why do I have brain fog? And people are just kind of pulling together their information. There's some nurses in that group. My other group is called COVID-19 Nurses. It's a professional discussion group. Others are welcome into the group, and that's I'm more than happy to have others come in and learn. But I do notice the discussions tend to be more scientific, so they could be a little bit more difficult to understand. But I've got interactions up to 2,000 people on one post when there's a question or an experience, and people are looking for more information. So COVID-19 Nurses has an image, a backdrop image that's kind of like a blue or teal with a nurse looking out a window. So there's a bunch of COVID groups for both of these, which is why I described the backdrops, but they are very helpful. And like I said, no drama. We're not allowing politics. We're not allowing opinions. We are talking about our firsthand experiences and looking for guidance, or we're reviewing research so that we have facts.
Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking with you again. So you've been listening to Lainey Bond. I'm Cynthia Poole. This is All Exits Closed. And if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks. Have a great day. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Cynthia.